I'd always heard the rumors about the old building, the way people said it was cursed, haunted by the suicides from years back when it was an office complex. But it's 2024, and I was working at McDonald's, not some horror movie set. Yet, that night changed everything. It was a Tuesday, dead slow as usual. I texted my boyfriend Ryan to come by. We were both making ends meet, and on some nights, I'd just stay back late and have our dinner date there in the McDonald's. It was getting late, and there was no sign of him. I stood behind the counter, scrolling through my phone, when I saw a shadow moving toward the door. Finally, Ryan. I decided to mess with him and crouch behind the counter, ready to jump out and scare him as soon as he walked in. The bell above the door chimed softly as it opened. I held my breath, but nothing. No footsteps, no sounds. I waited, counting the seconds in my head. 5, 10, 15. Still, nothing.
Ryan?
I whispered, peeking over the counter. The dining area was empty. The door had closed, but no one had come in. My heart fluttered with a sudden unease. I stood up slowly, scanning the room. Maybe he was messing with me too. That had to be it. I walked around the counter, checking the tables, even the bathroom door.
Ryan? Seriously, this isn't funny.
No answer, just the low hum of the machines and the weight of the empty restaurant pressing in on me. Then, out of nowhere, there was a loud crash outside. My heart jumped, and I rushed out to see what had happened, fearing the worst. What if Ryan was hurt? The parking lot was empty, but there was a trash can lying on its side. The metal bent like something had fallen on it from above. I stood frozen, staring at it. There was no one around. No cars, no wind, no reason for it to be knocked over like that. I hadn't even heard any footsteps. Just as I was about to head back inside, I heard someone call my name. Stacy! I spun around to see Ryan sprinting towards me, out of breath and pale as a ghost. He grabbed my arms, his eyes wide with fear, and he looked around desperately. Did you see that?
See what?
I saw someone jump, Stacy, from the roof, right here. He pointed to the top of the building, his voice shaking. I followed his gaze to the roof, but there was no one there.
There's no one up there, Ryan. You're freaking me out.
I'm serious. Someone jumped from the roof. They should have fallen right here. The look in his eyes told me he wasn't joking. I glanced back at the trash can, the dent in the metal. I had heard the loud sound as well, but I didn't want to believe it nor tell about it to Ryan.
Come on, let's go inside,
I said, pulling him toward the door.
It's probably just...
Suddenly, a figure moved in the window reflection behind us. I froze. We spun around, but the parking lot was still empty. Nothing. I locked the door behind us in a hurry. I tried telling myself it was just my imagination running wild, but then Ryan glanced toward the kitchen. Is Ramon still here? His voice was tight, like he was trying to stay calm.
No. He left an hour ago. Why?
Then who else is doing the graveyard shift? Solomon?
No one. It's just me.
I swear I just saw someone walk into the kitchen. I turned to look, my stomach dropping. The door to the kitchen was swinging ever so slightly, like someone had just passed through.
Could be one of those kids. They get high and steal burgers in the night.
But something didn't feel right. The air felt off, thick. I went inside the kitchen, but there was no one. Ryan followed, puzzled himself. That is when suddenly the fryer turned on by itself, the oil bubbling violently. I jumped back, my heart slamming in my chest. What the hell is happening? I didn't answer, too busy watching the fryer as the heat climbed higher, smoke beginning to curl from the oil. And just then, a loud bang echoed through the kitchen. The metal spatulas and pans started falling, crashing onto the floor. Stacy, we need to get out of here! Ryan was already backing away, his voice shaking. I ran to the fryer, trying to shut it off, but the buttons wouldn't work. As I pulled away, the lights flickered, my breath caught in my throat. In one of those flashes, I saw something, someone, standing in the doorway to the kitchen. A figure, tall and shadowed, watching us. The lights came back on. He was gone. Ryan pulled me toward the door. "Let's go!" We sprinted outside. My hands were shaking so badly, I dropped the keys twice. We got into Ryan's car and drove away. That is when I glanced in the rearview mirror and saw a figure standing in the window of the McDonald's, dark with glowing white eyes. It had been a brutal month. Ever since James lost his job, we were barely holding it together. His new gig at the garage didn't cover the bills, and my late shifts at McDonald's left me running on fumes. But none of that could have prepared me for that. It had just been a week since I started bringing my 7-year-old to work. Isabella didn't mind, though. She loved it, especially when he was there. Kevin, the guy who played Ronald McDonald. Every time he came in, dressed in that ridiculous costume, Isabella's eyes would light up, and she'd rush over to him. He'd let her sit on his lap, play games with her, and even give her little Happy Meal toys in the Lost and Found box. But there was something about him that made my skin crawl. It wasn't just his costume, it was him. His crooked teeth and pale blue eyes never seemed to blink enough. None of his smiles reached his eyes. I told Isabella to stay away from him, but she was whipped. The night was no different. The dinner rush hit hard. I could barely hear myself think over the noise. Isabella, as always, was with Kevin, who was entertaining the kids. He cracked some joke and the kids erupted into giggles. It had to be just a second. I turned away just long enough to hand over a tray, but when I looked back, Isabella was gone, and so was Kevin. Panic surged through me like ice water. I scanned the room frantically, looking for her in the crowd of customers. Nothing.
"I saw him heading out back,"
one of my co-workers muttered. My heart slammed against my chest as I shoved open the back door. The alley yawned before me, dim and cold.
"Bella?"
I yelled, running like a woman gone mad. Silence. She wasn't in sight.
"Bella!"
I cried again. Then I heard it, a quiet sobbing mingled with the soft cooing of another voice from behind the dumpster.
"It's all right, dear. You're all right. We don't have to tell Mommy, okay? She just worry unnecessarily."
"Kevin?"
I froze. My heart pounded against my ribs as I got closer. His words made my blood run cold, and all the fears I'd ever had about this man came to the surface. Isabella sniffled.
"But what about all the blood? It's all over my dress. Mommy's going to be mad."
I rushed toward the dumpster, my mind filled with images of the worst nightmares imaginable. I rounded the corner, and there they were. Isabella, sitting on Kevin's lap, her dress smeared with dark red stains. She was crying, and Kevin was holding her, his hands covered in blood. I saw red. I didn't even think. I grabbed a nearby rock and threw it at him. The force of my fear and anger drove me forward.
"You sick monster!"
I screamed, lunging at him, trying to pull Isabella away from him.
"I knew it! You pedophile!"
Kevin barely flinched as the rock hit him. His pale blue eyes looked up at me, wide and shocked, but still, that same unnerving calm.
"Michelle, wait!"
he started, but I wasn't listening.
"How could you? To a 7-year-old!
I screamed, my hands shaking.
"Get away from her!"
At that moment, some of the employees came rushing out, drawn by the commotion. They froze, looking at the scene. The blood, Isabella crying, Kevin sitting there with the strange, unreadable expression, slowly getting angry.
"Follow me,"
Kevin snarled as he dragged me behind the dumpster. There was something small and furry lying on the ground in a pool of blood.
"A raccoon?
He attacked me, Mommy! Kevin, he saved me!"
I felt the world tilt beneath me, my breath caught in my throat as the reality of the situation hit me with a tidal wave of guilt. Kevin had saved my daughter. I stumbled back, my hands trembling, the rocks slipping from my grasp. My mind reeled, trying to process what I had done, what I had thought.
I didn't know.
I stammered, my voice breaking.
I thought...
Kevin's eyes softened, and he gave me that same crooked smile, the one that I had always hated. But now, it looks different, kinder somehow. It's okay, Michelle, he said quietly. I get it. I know how I look. Hideous. People think things. I felt like a fool, an absolute fool. I had judged him. I had hated him because of the way he looked, because he made me feel uneasy. And in the end, he had been the one to protect my daughter when I wasn't paying attention.
I'm sorry,
I whispered, my voice barely audible. Kevin just smiled again. No need to apologize. I'd judge me too if it were my kid. That night, as I held Isabella close, I realized how deceiving appearances could be. Sometimes the people who look the scariest can be the ones who save you, and sometimes the ugliest things are just the shadows of our own fear. Working the night shift at McDonald's always had an eerie quiet to it. There wasn't much action past midnight, just the occasional car pulling into the drive-thru and the lonely sounds of the highway a mile away. The McDonald's was at the edge of a small town, surrounded by a thick forest. We didn't belong there. It was like the forest wanted to swallow us up. I was the closer that night, cleaning tables while Louise handled the kitchen. Since it was a boring job, I had my earphones on, listening to some Linkin Park bangers while cleaning the tables. But soon, I heard some disturbance from outside. I took out my earphones when I heard it, faint at first, like a soft shuffling just outside the window, like someone or something was moving outside. I turned toward the big window that faced the woods, but all I could see was the reflection of the empty dining area and myself. Curious, I stepped outside, the night air biting at my skin. I stared into the thick trees. The forest was still, not even a breeze moving through the branches. No animals, no wind, just dead silence. But as I turned to go back inside, I had the daylight shaken out of me. I saw it, a dark figure perched on one of the branches of the old oak tree. My breath hitched. It was hunched over, completely still, watching me from its spot high in the tree. I could barely make it out, but it was there, unmoving. I felt my chest tighten, and before I could think, I backed away toward the door. Then came a sudden, violent rustling from the tree, like something big was shifting. I stumbled backward, my heart pounding in my throat. I ran inside, slamming the door behind me, screaming. Luis, you gotta come out here, man! Something is outside! Luis was scrubbing down the fryer, barely lifting his head. What now? Just come! There's something strange in the tree, I swear! He rolled his eyes, but followed me to the front. I pointed to the oak tree outside the window, but the figure was gone. Nothing but empty branches swaying ever so slightly. Dude, you're seeing things. It's probably an animal.
It wasn't a damn animal. It was some other thing, like one of those skinwalkers Jeremy used to talk about.
I said, my voice shaking. But I couldn't explain it. Not really. He shrugged and went back to cleaning, leaving me staring at the tree. The rest of the shift was tense for me. Every creak, every little noise made me jump, but I tried to push it down, convincing myself that I was just tired. By the time we finished, I just wanted to get the hell out of there. Luis walked ahead, and I fumbled with my keys as we reached my car. Just as I slid into the driver's seat, Luis stopped dead in his tracks. Hold up, who's that? I froze, looking up. He was staring off into the forest, past the dim glow of the lights, toward the edge where the trees loomed. What do you mean? There's no one there.
He's right there, man, standing by the trees. He's waving?
I felt a cold sweat break out on the back of my neck. There was nobody there. I strained my eyes, but all I saw were the trees, thick and unmoving in the darkness. Luis, there's no one there.
He just...
Wait, where did he go? Before I could respond, the tree branches above the car began to shake violently, as if something huge was thrashing through them. My hands trembled as I gripped the steering wheel.
What the hell is that? We need to go, now!
I started the car as Louise jumped in, but before I could shift into drive, something landed on the roof with a sickening thud. The entire car rocked, the metal groaning under the weight of whatever had dropped on us. Louise screamed. My chest tightened. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe.
What the hell was that?
Louise was frozen, his eyes wide, his hands gripping the dashboard.
Just drive. Drive!
I slammed my foot on the gas, tires screeching as we tore out. We didn't speak the entire drive back, my hands shaking the whole time. The next morning, we went back to check the security footage, half expecting to see something, anything that would make sense of the night. We fast-forwarded through the hours, but the cameras didn't show anything. No figures, no rustling trees, just empty footage. But as we walked back to the car, my stomach dropped. The roof of the car, there were claw marks, deep, jagged scratches etched across the roof, like something had tried to tear its way inside. I swallowed hard, and that's when I noticed something wedged into the window frame. A note, scrawled in smudged, shaky letters. We watching.